Chapter 5. My friends and I stayed until the ambulance arrived with Sheriff Cordray and Cade not far behind. It was as if I couldn't leave until I knew that Miss Evangeline would have someone to look after her, but now I was free to go home. Silly, I know, but I've never claimed to be completely logical. I walked over to Cade and grasped his hands. His eyes questioned me. "Give me a call tonight when you have time," I said. "Yes," he said, "I'll do that." Jackie turned to go. Pat and I followed. The sun had set, and twilight was spreading a soft purple haze across the landscape. The white orb of the waxing moon rose over the Carver mansion. To me, the house looked lonely and empty. Trees and shrubs seemed hushed and still, a rigid sort of stillness. Even the wind had stopped. Generations of Carvers had given this place life and meaning. What would happen to the estate now? Would Albert take over? Did he have the knowledge to run the huge enterprise? I hadn't known Miss Evangeline long, but I sensed that she was the lifeblood that kept everything moving smoothly. Now that she was dead, it seemed to me that life had gone from the very bricks of the mansion. We three didn't talk much on the way back to Edna Lee. When I reached my house, I asked Pat and Jackie if they'd like to come inside, but they declined. They, as I, just wanted to sit down and try to absorb the awful thing that had happened. Both my animals rose up from their naps to meet me. I fed them and heated milk for a cup of hot chocolate. I felt chilled to the bone. A couple of hours later, there was a knock at my front door. As he always did, Ulysses went with me to answer it. Cade stood in the glow of the porch light. The shock and sadness I had felt since learning of Miss Evangeline's death lessened with the warmth and gladness that Cade's presence always brought. He gave me a swift peck on the cheek as he came inside the house. Putting his arm around my shoulders, he walked with me into the living room. "Tired?" I asked as he sank down on the sofa. He nodded. "Tired and feeling kind of like somebody kicked me in the stomach. Poor Miss Carver. Except for Albert, the last of a dynasty. After all these years of Carvers at that big old farm, it's hard to believe." Tears burned my eyes. I nodded. "Tell me what you were doing there," he said, his blue eyes searching my face. So I told him about Miss Evangeline's phone call and the real reason I had been at the estate when he arrived. He ran his hand across his mustache and shook his head. "She thought somebody was trying to kill her?" he asked. "That's what she said, Cade. But she also told me there were probably ghosts of her ancestors in the house. It could be that she had a lively imagination and was getting suspicious as she grew older. Or maybe she was becoming senile. Did you see anything that might have caused you to believe her death wasn't an accident?" "It looked like something spooked her mare, and she threw her onto some rocks," Cade said, squinting as he thought back. "The mare, her employee Ken, called her Melanie. He said usually she was gentle and a good mount for Miss Evangeline. Something must have scared her, and she started bucking. The ground was all torn up around where Miss Carver lay. It looks like she probably fell off and hit her head." "But you didn't know then that she thought somebody was trying to kill her," I said. Slowly he shook his head. "No, I didn't. So I wasn't looking for anything suspicious." "If you had suspected it wasn't an accident, what would you have been looking for?" "Anything that could have spooked the mare. A horse, any horse, can be unpredictable, even a gentle one. Maybe Melanie saw a snake or a wild pig. Ken said they sometimes have trouble with wild hogs rooting around, trying to find something to eat. Surely it was just an old woman's imagination that made her say someone was trying to kill her. It was a sad accident, Ned, so get that thoughtful look off your face." I turned toward him on the sofa, tucking one leg under me. "All I'm saying is, maybe we should keep an open mind. Think about it. She told me of three different incidents that could have resulted in tragedy. those relatives of hers came circling in like buzzards only a few years ago, as if they were waiting for her to die. And, Cade, today she was supposed to have met with Ron Murray to make out a will. I think someone was listening when she told me what she wanted done. She was going to leave the estate to the Oklahoma Historical Society, not to any of her family. He shook his head. I don't imagine any of her family would have been keen on that. I don't like the way you said, we should keep an open mind. Forget the we business, Ned. I'll look into it. If on the other chance her death wasn't an accident, there is a killer out there who doesn't want Miss Evangeline to leave her home to the state, and he might not appreciate your curiosity. She didn't have time to meet with Ron and draw up a will, I said. What will happen to all her assets? If a person dies intestate, usually the next of kin inherits, he said. Ron would know a lot more about that than I do. Maybe she had talked with him before yesterday, and he knew what she wanted done. Maybe. I snapped my fingers. That paper, the one she had me sign about making a brochure for the Historical Society. Would that have any legal weight? I don't know. Some wills are just handwritten with a signature. It would probably have to have her signature on it, or it wouldn't hold up. Did she sign it? She did. What's more, she insisted I sign it, too. She gave me a copy and had another copy that she kept. Surely that would constitute a written will, wouldn't it? I don't know, Cade said. Let me take a look at it. I trotted to my purse, rummaged through it, and came back with the folded paper I had taken with me to the farm. Cade read silently, then drew a deep breath. At the bottom, she wrote, "These are my wishes," and she signed it. Could be a legal document. I think you need to take it to Ron. With his training, he'll know whether this is as good as a formal will. You're right, Cade. I'll do that tomorrow morning, if he can see me. For the first time in this wretched evening, I felt a spark of hope. If Miss Evangeline wanted her home to go to the Historical Society, I would do my best to carry out her wishes. And before I went to see Ron, I just might take a little jaunt out to the Carver farm. But how would I see the place where she had died? How would I be able to find it? I would have to figure out a way.